Let me pray for us. Our Lord God, would you please restore my voice, which is failing me now? God, for your great glory. Lord, would you, with this poor, lisping, stammering tongue, speak your clear word now? Father, would you be magnified by the preaching of your word? Would it honor him? Would you cause us to look upon Jesus Christ now? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. In verse 50, it says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." We read on Palm Sunday, Jesus say, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Did you know that creation honors the Lord? Creation cares about the Lord Jesus Christ. Creation groans for the glory that comes from him. Jesus' death was a cosmic event. Jesus' death was a cosmic event. Verses earlier in Matthew, he says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." From noon to 3 p.m. should be the brightest hours of the day. And in this, we get a taste of the end of the age. Matthew wrote about this in chapter 24 when he says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." The authorities in the heavenly places certainly fell at the death of Jesus Christ. This was his triumph over them, after all. Will this happen when you die? Will the sun go dark? Will the moon cease to bring its light? If Jesus wept when Lazarus died, what will creation do when its maker perishes? And we know the answer, and we're going to look at this today in verses 51 through 54. Let me read them now, of Matthew 27. It says, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly this was the Son of God.'" Creation responds to the death of the Son of God. We're going to see the veil, the earth, the rocks, the tombs, and the centurion and those with him responding to the death of God. Let's begin with the veil. It says, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." At this moment, the temple was soon to be destroyed. We talked about this when we went through Palm Sunday. The temple was soon to be destroyed. The true temple here on this cross is now destroyed, ready to be raised up in 3 days as a sign for Jesus' dominance over the affairs of the temple. In John 2, verses 18 through 21, John 2, 18 through 21, it says, "So the Jews said to him, 'What sign do you show us for doing these things?'" Namely, tossing over tables in the temple. "Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' The Jews said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?' But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Now, having troubled the people very much by driving merchants out of the temple, Jesus is going to take it a step further and tear the veil in the holy place. This veil was torn not by man, perhaps an angel, perhaps the veil itself, perhaps the Holy Spirit or God the Father. It was torn from top to bottom. The temple was always under the authority of Jesus Christ. The temple was always something Jesus Christ had zeal for. It is this zeal that consumed him. The temple was always about Jesus Christ. And here is Jesus Christ, and the veil always pointed to Jesus Christ's flesh. Jesus has always been the great door. The curtain is the flesh of Christ. We read earlier that one would die entering the presence of God with undealt with sin. Only a priest could do it, under specific conditions with much blood shed. And all of this is summed up in what's happening right now on the cross of Jesus Christ. He bore our sin. He was a scapegoat, taking the sin and dealing with it through death. He is our sacrifice. He is our priest. He is our door. He is the threshold to the presence of God. His torn flesh is how we enter into the Holy of Holies. Please turn to, keep your finger there, and turn to Hebrews 9. How could we talk about what Jesus is doing with the temple without involving Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 says, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For at the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is a mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you.' And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." The heavenly things needed to be purified with better sacrifices than these. "For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all, at the end of the ages, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." And flip over to Hebrews 10:19. Go through 25. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. See, the veil was for a time. It is no longer necessary. The Gentiles can now enter the presence of God through the flesh of Christ, having their sins atoned for by his blood. So they are clean, and so they will not die. The veil takes its cue. Its job is done, and so it leaves its post. And the veil is torn. So the veil responds, the earth and the rocks respond, it says, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The rocks are split just like the veil was, and the earth quakes, again showing the cosmic significance of the event. And this is happening either by the rocks crying out, as foretold by Jesus, right? The Son of God fell silent, his people scattered and hiding. Who is proclaiming his praise? So the rocks are crying out. Or, and I believe both of these go hand in hand, it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake. In Matthew 28:2, it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. When Jesus was resurrecting from the dead, there was a great earthquake. Why? It says, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came back and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Apparently, we see that a great earthquake is caused when an angel of the Lord descends from heaven and opens a tomb. And what do we see next happening? Not only is the earth shaking, not only are the rocks splitting, but tombs are opening. Tombs are opening. It says in verse 52, the tombs also were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs, after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. The tombs were opening. As Christ enters his tomb, many are opened. It is inescapable here that death itself is being confronted, engaged with head on. Engaged with head on. As a matter of understanding this text, there's a little bit of confusion that can happen in this text. I have John Calvin to thank for his help in understanding what seems to be the most likely scenario here. Because either the tombs were opened, it says new breath was given to the dead holy ones, and they waited in the graveyard for 3 days until going into town, right? Because it says the tombs also were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. This can at first perhaps make you believe that the tombs were opened, but they waited there 3 days until Christ resurrected, until going into town. This is one reading. It's possible. It seems less likely than what I think is the more likely scenario. It says, and the more likely scenario is that the tombs were opened here at his death in the earthquake. And their resurrection and departure from the tombs were both after the resurrection. It says, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. It's a possible reading of this, that this is, the tombs were opened now. And then 3 days later, at Jesus' resurrection, they walked into town. This also ties in with what Paul, who says in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Or in Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. He is the first fruits. He is the firstborn of the dead. Because of his resurrection, we have hope in the resurrection. Now, Lazarus was raised along with the little girl and a couple others throughout human history because of the hand of God to go on and die again. And so it's possible that this was similar. Recently dead saints brought back to their earthly bodies to die again. But since they come post-resurrection and appear to many, it seems to me that the tombs were open. Saints were raised in their glorified state and walked into town and were likely taken up later, like Elijah or Enoch. We're not given all the details. But either way, at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, saints were raised. He beat death. As he engaged it, as we can see that he's engaging death, because in his death, other tombs are open. He's taking death head on. He won. Death is dead. Resurrection is here. That's okay. We'll take it as symbolic in some way. Thomas Watson is quoted saying, God can more easily raise the body out of the grave than we can awake a man out of sleep. This is something that God is very capable of doing. He is the one who breathed life into dust and made Adam. Can he not raise a man from the dead? Death, where is your sting? Christian, you will come up out of your grave like this, like these. You will. Though our bodies go into the ground, it is for a while. We will be sleeping. Paul tells us we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his, with a body up and around, going through walls, eating fish, looking like yourself, but not obviously, imperishable, never to die again. Creation responds to the death of the Son of God. The veil, the earth, the rocks, tombs, and the centurion and those who were with him. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Darkness from noon to three, earth quaking, stones splitting, tombs opening, the way that Jesus Christ breathed his last, his manner on the cross, handing his spirit to his Father and dying early. They were filled with awe. Truly, this man was the Son of God. This is the proper response to seeing the death of God. But interestingly enough, not everyone who was there believed that this man truly was the Son of God. Now think of this. Everybody saw 3 hours in the middle of the day, darkness, the earth quaking, rocks splitting. Soon after, many dead raising, and many did not believe, even having seen this. Abraham tells the rich man, as he's perishing, he says, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. But, like God tore the veil and shook the earth and split the rocks and opened the tombs, the Lord opened the centurion's eyes and the eyes of those around him to see. Truly, this man was the Son of God. May the Lord give us such eyes to see, because if he does not open our eyes like he opened these tombs, then we are dead in our sins. But praise be to God that he has opened our eyes, and we have seen. And what did they see? What did the centurion see? He said, truly this man was the Son of God, and now he's dead. And we killed him. Imagine this. What is about to happen to the world? Some of you saw this. Some of you had parents that saw this. Some of you it's like watching the World Trade Center fall on the television, and you think, probably everything's going to be different now, only much more. Imagine seeing and being convinced that you just watched God himself die. Something is going to change now. Things are going to be different. We don't all get to keep going like yesterday. Something has changed here, and something indeed did change here. Hebrews tells us long ago, and many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. These are the last days. Well, how do we know they're the last days? Because Jesus Christ is who we see the Father through. That's how we know we're in the last days. This is a new era. These are days where the veil of the temple is torn. And there is no other veil. The veil was Jesus Christ's flesh. We live in a world with the temple destroyed. We live in a world post the death of Jesus Christ. and his resurrection. Jesus Christ came, he took on death, creation shook and reeled, acknowledging Jesus to be the Son of God. He has come in the name of the Lord. And so now everything is different. Death is dead. Jesus Christ is alive, and he's making all things new. See and believe. If the Lord has opened your eyes, look to Jesus, lift it up and believe. Find God through the door, live forever, and respond with all of creation that this man is the Son of God.